Diane Orson with Connecticut Public Radio News. I've never been a big shopper, but for years, one annual treat I looked forward to was a trip with my daughter to the Lord & Taylor store in Trumbull during its January sale. We'd pore over the elegant designer dresses and evening gowns. Now, Lord & Taylor, Brooks Brothers, J. Crew, and even Ann Taylor, whose first store opened in 1954 on Chapel Street in New Haven, dozens of once-storied retail clothing institutions are filing for bankruptcy. I spoke recently with Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, Senior Associate Dean and Professor of Management Practice at the Yale School of Management, to learn more. Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, welcome to Morning Edition.
Hi, it's a delight to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
So we're watching a cascade of iconic apparel industry retailers filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection or liquidation. What's happening?
Well, it is just tragic seeing these great iconic old names in our own town in New Haven, just to see that flagship original Ann Taylor store disappear is gut-wrenching. Mickey Drexler, the long-time head of Gap and J. Crew, actually started his career at that Ann Taylor store, and it was emotional for him to see that close, not to mention what's happened to J. Crew and others with the problems they've had. So, yeah, it is not a business-as-usual cyclical problem. We have some cyclical issues, but sadly some profound structural disruption.
Can you break that down for us a little bit? What are some of the factors that have led to this situation?
Well, you know, we have, of course, the shutdowns of business where because of the importance of quarantine and reduced commerce, we've seen the retails have just lost an awful lot of pedestrian traffic. The structural side, though, is the more profound disruption. As the CEO of 1-800-Flowers, a guy named Jim McCann, who just had in class recently, but virtually, same with Helena Foulkes, who was the head of Hudson's Bays, which had once been Lord & Taylor and Saks Fifth Avenue and others. They're both saying how what's happened here is thanks to this horrible pandemic, in addition to all the human suffering, is that it's a fast-tracking of trends that were already underway, so that as Jim McCann had said, quote, everything we thought would happen over the next 5 years evolutionarily is happening over the last 5 months, and we can be better for it. So there were some who have a big e-tail business, but the stores, old-fashioned brick-and-mortar retailers and not heavily anchored as e-tailers, they're having a big problem. I know a real frustration of somebody like Mickey Drexler. He's so frustrated that there are places such as Amazon and the Amazon third-party merchants that they'll feature that can see a beautiful J. Crew piece of merchandise that comes out one day, and in a matter of days have some offshore factory retooled and able to reproduce it, far inferior in quality. It won't have the same threads per square inch. It won't have the same quality buttons. It won't have the same kind of inseams and stitching. But that's not apparent when you're buying online. You don't see the quality difference. You only see the price difference, and that's really been hard. I also should admit to you, I come from a retail background in the kinds of businesses you're talking about. We were not a Brooks Brothers, but it was a young men's apparel business that my family had.
Oh, interesting.
It's gone now. And my mom kept telling my father to get out of it, but he just sort of loved the personal contact with customers and things and the kind of service that the local merchants can provide. But she kept arguing it's going the way of the corner grocery store, and she was prescient.
And for office wear, I wonder how much casual wear at the office and, you know, now the new pandemic work wardrobe with maybe a nice top paired with sweatpants for Zoom meetings is changing shopping trends for that line of retail.
Diane, I just love that question. You've raised an important new avenue, which is in addition to what's happened to the distribution process. Well, the fashion itself has changed so much as we joke so often as, you know, what are people wearing below the waist? Are they in shorts or whatever? That the casual wear element is so overwhelmed. I have a big financial institution board call that starts at 1 today. It'll run from 1 to 6. The dinner, of course, canceled, and we're doing it all online. And you couldn't show up with a sport jacket for a man at that event. It was always a full suit. Everybody's going to be, if somebody's wearing a collared shirt, which I'll be wearing to try to get some authority in the meeting, that's going to look like you're trying to show off. Many of them will just be in some version of T-shirts and things, which is shocking.
Well, let me ask you, looking forward, what are the factors that you think office wear retailers will need to keep in mind in order to survive or succeed in the future?
Well, it's going to be an intensely customer service-driven business as a point of differentiation. And the importance of, in fashion, sometimes you get something that's going to make you too wide or too long or out of step or whatever it is that you've really got to try it on. It used to be the great legends of retail would try to sell the shopping experience with entertainment in the stores at the old John Wanamaker's and others with organs and piano concerts and things, and that's not going to be the way to, I think, to sell that experience. It's going to have to be what is the consumer advantage. They've got to figure out how to sell that.
Thanks so much for your time, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld.
It was an honor to join you. Thank you.